this conference.
I don't know about
well,
you, but sometimes, you know, I look at myself and Lydia says I'm a really disciplined person, but I think she's, when you start looking at yourself, you don't always see that. And I look at some of the things and some of the things I adopt in my life, and then I go back and I go, oh my gosh, what happened to that? Did any of you guys ever do that? You adopt new procedures or new policies or new processes or what you're going to do first thing in the morning and what do you, and then all of a sudden 6 months later, a year later, for some of you 6 days later, for some of you 6 hours later, we're all different in terms of our time frame where we get disinterested in our formula for success. And then we let it fall off the wayside because all of a sudden it's not as important as what's right now in front of our face. You can't imagine how many people tell me, well, Mary Jo, I know I had this, you know, specific outline of what I was going to do every day, but then this happened or this. And I go, life. Life is going to happen. That doesn't mean you sacrifice on the structure you put in your life. Structure is absolutely crucial. If you want to be successful, you have to have structure. I could never have gotten where I was in Manitech and where I've been without the structure that I put in my life. It was essential for my success, as it was in lawyering, as it was everything that I've done in my life. Structure is critical. And I'm not one of these kind of analyst people that fall in love with structure. I'm the opposite end of the spectrum. I'm one of the promoter types who really fight structure, but I see the incredible value of it every day of my life. Every day. I want a list of what needs to get done, what are my priorities for the day, where's my calendar, all the things to keep my structure. So our problem is today that we work more to achieve less, and that's a losing formula. So the idea today in the article was about working less to achieve more, and that's what we all should vie for. That should be our goal in life. Because today we're busier than ever. We stay busy nonstop. We have technology, family, innovation, day-to-day operations, every cause, every possible mission field, every possible cause is at our fingertips because we're right on the internet. You want to be involved in basket weaving. You want to be involved in whatever you want, croquet. You want to be involved in helping people with shoes. You want to be helping people with, you know, with food or with this or with whatever it is you might want. It's right at your fingertips, isn't it, people? So how fast can we get diverted? Like, all you got to do is click your fingers, and you're in a diversion. It's that fast. And I guarantee you people are spending time on the internet today like never before, and diversion time is going up off the charts. In fact, it's getting so bad that people, they sit down to their computer, and about 4 hours later, they stop for lunch, and they go, oh, my gosh, did I really just blow 4 hours? How many of you on this call could raise your hand right now and say, Mary Jo, I've done that? I bet you 90% of the people on this phone call. And the reason is that we get captivated by interesting things. I'm not saying that they're not interesting. I'm not saying they're not intriguing. I'm just saying there's a tremendous amount out there that can capture your imagination and capture your interest. And that's just what technology has given us today with the internet. I mean, I thrive on the internet. Whenever I don't know something, I go to the internet. Boom, it's the first place. I don't go to the Encyclopedia Britannica. I don't even own any of that. I haven't seen one of those in ages. But the idea is that we have an incredible research tool at our fingertips, but what are we doing with it? Are we eliminating it to things that we need to know, or are we going out just and searching, just in finding out new things and allowing things to attract our attention? Well, that's what the marketers on the internet want you to do. That's why they have so many pop-ups. They have all these, you know, highlighters. They have all the, you know, the bylines, the top lines, the taglines, the bar thing. I mean, they have a zillion and one things that happen on your internet because they're trying to draw your attention. And, you know, all they got to do is soak in one per thousand. And when you start looking at the millions that are hitting the internet, they've been extremely successful. So their numbers don't have to be very big. But our problem is that we're getting diverted. We're busier than ever, and we're adding more things on our platter because we have all of this at our fingertips. The idea of scarcity of time. I think that it's very rare that I find somebody who doesn't say, Mary Jo, I just don't have the time. And I go, wow. I want you guys to look at that statement. I just don't have the time. Write that down on a piece of paper right now. I just don't have the time. And I want you to write right after it, I want to say, this is a big excuse. Why not to do something? Okay? Just get it really clear. And I don't want you ever to use the words, I just don't have the time, ever again. When something comes up and you feel like other things are more important, I want you to say, this doesn't fit my priorities. It's a very powerful statement for you to make, and it puts you back in control of your time. It doesn't fit my priorities. Isn't that an easier thing to say? How many of you enjoy that language? It doesn't fit my priorities. Isn't that great? It doesn't fit my priorities. It puts you, I want to tell you what it does. Let's go back to Brian Clemmer. A lot of you have been Clemmerized in some way, shape, or form, and you know about the sand wasp story that runs and eats his food, and he has to check out his boogle before he takes the food in, and this mad scientist comes over, grabs the food, puts it behind the cactus. The sand wasp comes out of the hole. He looks around, can't find his food. He looks all over. He finds it behind the cactus. He takes it over to his boogle, puts it outside his boogle, climbs in his boogle to see, make sure it's safe. The mad scientist takes the food, puts it behind the cactus. The sand wasp comes out. Food's gone. And he'll do this. How long will the sand wasp do this? How long will that sand wasp go down and check out his boogle and come back up and find the food missing because the mad scientist is experimenting with him, go grab the food again, carry the food in his mouth to his boogle, go down, leave it there, go down to check it out. He'll do it until he dies. Because that's how he's genetically made up. The one thing the sand wasp doesn't have that you have is called choice. The sand wasp can't make a choice. He will die carrying food in his mouth. You don't need to die carrying food in your mouth. You have a choice. So when you tell people you don't have time, you do have time. You just gave up having a choice. You're telling me you're a sand wasp, and you're not a sand wasp. So say the right words and say, what is it? It doesn't fit in my priorities. And if you're embarrassed because it's something that's a social program or mission work or something that you feel like you should be committed to, then you say, at this time. It doesn't fit within my priorities at this time. That leaves it open that potentially 6 months from now they'll be dedicating time to it. But right now, at this time, it doesn't fit within your priorities. Because that's all that time is. I had the rude awakening around this issue, and I'll share it with you because I think it's important for all of us. It might open your eyes. Some people don't work out, right? In fact, when I started working around Clemmer's work, and I was working with Coach Roy, he and I worked together for a day and a half and did like a mini SAM camp, just the two of us. What an intense program that was. I didn't understand the true value until I was done with it, but it was invaluable time. And one of the things he said, he was talking to me about all the things, the goals I had in my life. And one of the things I had, my goal was to get back to, you know, a size 8 or size 6 because, you know, some of you have seen some of the old DVDs with Mary Jo in them, and I was a 10. I don't think I ever hit 12, but I was heavier than I wanted to be. And so he was going, and my husband, I got married, and I traveled so much with Manitech, I kind of gave up on the gym because I wanted to spend time with him, and so I let myself go. So he started going through my goals, and he said, well, Mary Jo, how come you're not working out? I mean, what's going on with this weight loss? What would you need to do to be happier about your weight and everything? And I said, well, I need to start working out again, but I don't have time. And he looked at me, and it was hilarious. I mean, he looked at me like, you what? It was like this total state of shock. You what? And I said, well, I really don't have time. And I said, I don't think I repeated it. What I did is I looked at him and I started laughing because I started thinking to myself, of course you have time. We all have time. But it's got to be a choice. You got to make it a priority. So did I make that a priority after that? Absolutely. I went out and I hired a personal trainer. I went to start working out again. I mean, and I became happy again with my size 6, size 8 body. I mean, it just was a choice. It was nothing else than a choice. Time. You just make the time to do it, and you get out there and get it done. So, but we claim scarcity of time, and there is that time is your only limited asset. I will agree with that. But again, it's prioritized based on what's important to you. And you don't want to become victim to your own lives. And that's what people are. Because the whole concept of choice is if you have no choice, if you want to claim you don't have choice, then you're becoming victim. So you can claim victim status. That has some costs and benefits to it. I would suggest that if you do the cost-benefit analysis, the costs far outweigh any benefit you can, suggest on a victim status. But do that and see whether you want to keep claiming victim. But I suggest that choice is where you want to be at, because choice is where you have the power to create. And that's what we all want, is the power to create. We want to create greatness around us, greatness in our lives, greatness in our families' lives, greatness in every possible way we can, just like Sam Castor. He's driven by the power of creating. That's what drives him. He's a visionary. And we all should be visionaries. We all should vision our lives as something better than what they are, to get ourselves out of the comfort zone and move on. So our solution around this concept of scarcity of time and all this stuff is not that we work faster. Some of you just try to work faster and harder, and then you have congestive heart failure, and you have heart attacks, and you strokes, and you're miserable, and you're adrenal failure, and all sorts of things, because stress is massive. Working faster creates more stress. So rather than going faster, maximize your time so that you can maximize your productivity. And that's what this is about. How do I maximize my time, maximize my productivity? And through actually gaining productivity, you can work less. And that's my goal today. As I get to 56, 57 years old, I'm, getting older every day. And mine isn't so much that I want to maximize my productivity with Manitech or whatever else. My idea is that I'm so convicted around the mission field today and what I'm doing in the church and other things. I have huge, huge commitments in those fields, and it's taking up a lot of my time. So the only way I can survive is by choosing to maximize my productivity. So there, I'm capturing that by saying, okay, what does my life look like? How am I capturing my productivity? And putting more structure in my life to achieve that, because I know I can work less and achieve more. I know that. And that's what you all need to admit to yourself. We all can work less and achieve more. And then how do we do that? We do it through what? Making new rules in our lives. And just like, we have rules around finances, and some of you live by financial rules. I don't know how many of you do this, but my husband and I are continuing to do it, and we continue to increase how much we give, because our goal is to eventually live off of 10% and give away 80%. That would be a maximum goal, and what a blessing that would be. So we're not there yet by any means, but that's our goal. So our idea, though, is we have rules around which we live. We whether you're tithe and you give 10%, remember, and that's not what Scripture says. It says a minimum of 10%. So that's not like the minute you write a check for 10%, you've done your daily good. It's a concept of minimum of 10%. I've never seen a church give back money because you paid in too much as a tithe. Did you ever have that experience, anyone? No. So you might think about that. But you develop your goals around that. Give 10%, save 10%, we'll live off of 80%. That's kind of a formula you see a lot popular with people out in the industry today and talking about financial stability and gaining more honor and respect in your life and being a part of something greater than you, which is your giving percentage. So you can look at that. We have rules like that around our finances. Why can't we do that around our time? And we absolutely can. You can apply the same kind of structure as your written rules for your time as you do for your finances. So she put some examples in her article, and then I decided that I wasn't so excited about those examples as they applied to Manitech and working this business, so I decided to just show you some examples for me just as another set of examples. So examples for you to review out of her, I got too much noise in here. Sorry, people, let me move. Hang on. Okay, better for me. Okay, so examples that she used in her article were examples like never open email, social media before you plan your day. So in other words, she kicks off her day with planning the day. So that's the first thing she does. Turn off your computer after 7 o'clock p.m. She just puts a rule in her life that's a deadline that you put on that. Another reason why you might want to turn off your computer around 7 p.m. is because there have been studies out there, people. I'll just give you a little insight into this. Studies out there that show that when you have your computer on, the screen light that comes off computers actually suppresses your body's production and emission of melatonin. So people who work on their computers till 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night have a much harder time going to sleep. And it was really funny because I started thinking about that in my life, and a lot of you guys know that my husband loves television. And I like to watch sports once in a while, but I don't like to watch a lot of television. It bothers me in other ways because it's such a waste of time. There's not very much good on television. So anyway, but I want to spend time with him, so I tend to sit down. And I would sit down downstairs with him while he's watching television and communicate with him. But I really wouldn't watch the TV. I'd bring my laptop. Well, I was having a hard time for a few months trying to go to sleep when he wanted it. So finally he said, okay, let's go to bed, like 11 o'clock or whatever time it was, or 11:30. And I shut off my computer, and I couldn't fall asleep. And I was wondering, what is this? I've never had a problem falling asleep. I'm one of these people that usually is so wound up because you see my energy level that I hit the bed and I'm asleep in like 2 seconds. Well, this information really, really jumped out at me. So I'm putting a new rule in my life that laptop shit gets shut by, you know, maybe for me it'll be 9 o'clock because I tend to stay up later than most. But, that's just an idea that'll help you. Then you'll find understandably why some things are happening in your life in terms of your body's regulation as well. But a good rule to have, some kind of time limit you put on your computer. Keep your PDA off during family time. PDA, that's like an old terminology, personal digital assistant is what it stands for. For those of you unfamiliar with that, it's like a smartphone, an iPhone, a BlackBerry, an iPad, those kind of things. You just got to get rid of them because what you're doing is you're robbing from yourself, but you're robbing from family members as well. So you want to stay away from those when you're spending time with the family. You make a rule about how many evenings away from home you're doing with your work. You know, a lot of times Manatech takes us out of our homes on Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, might be meeting nights, whatever. But you make a commitment to what your limit is so that you're not allowing to have a runaway, like a runaway train. This is a runaway Manatech associate. And if you have kids, this to me would be very critical. Be home in time to tuck the kids in every night. You just want to make sure that those special moments that you're spending together, that last few moments before the end of the day can become critical to children. And if you can't make it for some crazy reason because there's some important thing, the phone call is crucial. Those are the kind of things, rules that you can put in place. Examples for me, I'll put down like only 1 hour per day on social networking. So I make sure that if I'm out there doing social marketing, I limit myself to 1 hour. Because can you get caught up in that and all of a sudden your day goes away? Absolutely. So you want to be really concise in how much time you spend on it. Can you be effective with 1 hour? Absolutely. I think you can do a lot in 1 hour. And remember, we're intriguing people and opening up to people and we're starting conversations. You're not trying to build an 18-year relationship in one day. I also follow my systems for your home-based business, that double CD set that I put out years ago. I don't even know if it's available anymore. I should have. Oh, you can contact Lydia. She still has them. If you don't know what that is, it's kind of a cool thing that I put together years ago, about six years ago. And it's a group of systems that we use in operating our Manatech business. And it's like, it really came out of my reading of E-Myth and E-Myth Revisited, the idea of structure and how important it is. And many Manatechers don't do that. Many networkers don't do that. So I built a CD set called Systems to Support Your MLM Business, your Multi-Level Marketing Business. And it just goes through a whole list of what's critically important. The CD set also has exhibits on to-do lists and monthly expense forms, home office expense, all those kind of things. So it has a lot of ideas of, work product that I put on there is attached. But the important thing I wanted to talk about today was just the kind of things that I have in there. I have things like my first 30 minutes. Every day my first 30 minutes looks the same, and my last 30 minutes looks the same. Why? Because my first 30 minutes, I get organized for the day. I make sure I have everything done. You know, I'm printing off a copy of my specific schedule for the day because I have a master calendar and I have schedules on there. And when I make appointments, I put them on there. I check the voicemail, both on Workline and Homeline. I check my success tracker. I check the answering machine to make sure I'm reviewing it. I review my to-do list and I review my to-be list. So those are kind of like my first 30 minutes every day. They look this every day. And it's a discipline. You just put it in place and you do it every single day. So you make sure that you're prepared for the day. You're on top of your life. Because what happens to us people is that if we don't do that, I know because when I fall off the track and don't do that, I have this sinking feeling in my life. And I'm not going to call it depression. I'm just going to tell you I don't approach life with the same level of enthusiasm. because I feel like I'm just drifting throughout the day. I don't want to drift my life away. Every moment's important. Every moment needs to be impactful in some way, shape, or form. So I don't want to drift it away. Oh, I have too many priorities in my life, too many important things, and it all has to do with what am I creating as a legacy out there? What am I going to leave as a legacy? What am I creating to make sure it's self-sustaining? So I'm not just here making a difference in the short time I spend on Earth, but forever hereafter as well. So the importance is to look at, you know, structuring that. So you feel energetic. You want to be enthusiastic, energetic. Don't let yourself get lulled into the sense of, you know, well, it's a home-based business. I can get out of bed in my pajamas and just go upstairs and sit in my chair and just start to work. Nah. It's like, you know, if you don't know the direction you're going, what are you going to do? You're never going to get there. You're never going to get where? Well, you don't know where because you don't know where you're going. So that's why you need to have direction. And that's not just an end result goal. It's a daily goal, daily activities that you want to accomplish. So first, and then I have last 30 minutes, managing emails, filing documents, all those things, reactivation, all the important aspects of a network marketing business are encompassed in that, systems to support you. So to me, that's part of my structure and just staying structured in my business. No matter what happens, I have the structure in my business. I put X time every day. Like if right now I'm involved in Marketing Mania, and I'm also doing a reactivation program around GI Pro. So I dedicate so much time on a daily basis, or when I have days, I look at my calendar and I say, okay, these are the slots that I've opened, and I'll allocate that time specific to specific programs. I also have a lot of outside interests. Last week was huge because I do a lot of charity work around the tax return area. I have my foundation, so I did a lot of tax returns. In fact, I was on the phone with the IRS this morning again, and I'll be continuing to work with some people. So I do. I have to plug that into my schedule. I do work for my foundation, so I plug that into my schedule, both here and in Texarkana. Self-development's important to me, and that tends to be the one that gets left off the schedule if there's not enough time, which is a sad thing. We all need to be. I was talking to somebody the other day about this Brian Clemmer thing, and they said, you know what, it just drew the importance of my listening to tapes or listening to reading books or, you know, something I just need to do every single day. I got to get back into the habit of making sure that I continue on the growth mode in self-development. And that's what the to-be list is for a lot of you that I keep emphasizing for you to put on your to-do list, a beingness characteristic that you're working on a daily basis as well. So you're always growing. I'm involved in other things, just like you guys. I just threw some of my things, real estate. I do a lot of work in the real estate area. I do options trading today. I work with church, you know, a lot of church programs, things like that. They're all scheduled on my daily calendar. So as I get planned for the day, the week, the month, whatever. So those are the kind of things that help you manage time and be massively more productive. The other thing that the article talked about, which I think is really helpful, was notice what is working for you and what's not. If you just look at your life and you say, what's working for me and what's not? So you're going, wow, reactivation's not working for me, or prospecting's not working for me. Well, that's when you got to stop. Instead of keep doing what you've always been doing and expect different results, you got to stop and start, how do I do this differently? So look at things that aren't working. Other things can be interruptions, like if a lot of people are calling you and you just can't get something done, what do you do? It's the same thing I tell Lydia. I go, Lydia, don't answer the phone. Say from 10 to 12, you don't answer the phone. We get the phone calls a lot here. But I just said, you can always pick up on the answering machine at 12 o'clock all the people that called in and call them back. People don't expect you to answer the phone every time you call. You can answer the phone most of the time, but if you have something specific you need to knock out, then just put the phone, you know, just quit answering the phone. It's like so many people live their lives that the minute the phone rings, they run. Other people run the other direction when the phone rings because they have some other issues going on in their life. But most of us, you know, I want to know who's calling me too, but if I'm in the midst of something, what's more important that I accomplish what I need to get done, and then I can always call the person back, right? So it's one of those things that you want to really be aware of. So look at things that aren't working for you and make some corrections around that. And lock in your time rules. You know, make them concrete, make them explicit. I had a gal in my organization. She said, you know, Mary Jo, my family's just really important to me, and my husband's getting a little irritated. So what I've decided to do was I'm going to stop all phone calls after 6 o'clock. And I said, great. I said, so that's a great time planning. If that's what you want to do, 6 o'clock is the last time you're going to do phone calls. I says, first of all, I said, is there any night you can specifically talk to your husband about and negotiate that you have one evening? Because a lot of times three-way calls are needed to do at evenings because people work. So I opened her up to that thought process. And then the second thing I said is, now the most important thing for you to do now that you have a schedule is communicate the schedule. Let everybody in your organization, everybody out there, know what they can expect, because people build their lives around expectations, don't we? So if we don't get word from you, we're going to expect that you're going to take my call at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night because you didn't tell me that you changed your schedule. So it's going to be terribly disappointing when you don't answer my call. There's nothing worse than people calling and expecting to get a response and not getting one. I mean, it's just, so you, if you're going to change your schedule and rewrite it, then, open that up and allow people to know. The second, she had like three rules. One was like, that was the first one. Examples, making new time rules. Number one, these are things that you want to change. Number two, power down. The fact is your brain gets stressed every time an email or text message comes in. So you want to, you're, technology is a wonderful thing, but don't let technology run you. She had a great comment in there. She said, just because you can doesn't mean you should. In other words, just because you can instant message 24/7, you can be on the computer 24/7, you can be on this 24/7, doesn't mean you should. These are wonderful flexibilities that they've given us in technology, but the problem is you don't let that control you. You take control of technology. That's what you need to do. And people don't expect you to be available 24/7 unless that's the expectation you've created. And how do you change that? By communicating it to people. Set up your time frame, set up your schedule, and communicate that. You'll be much more effective with the time that you have and time you dedicate. And then finally, the third thing she told people to do is take a I think the first one is the most critical, which is managing your time. Power down is critical because it's just a concept of who's controlling your life today. Are you in control? Of course, God's in control for me, but I'm in control of what I'm actually doing on a daily basis, right? Whether I honor him or not, it's still my free will, right? The time control on a daily basis is crucial. Power down is crucial because you don't want technology to control you. And the third thing is take a break. She called it take a virtual vacation. I say take the time to stop and smell the roses. Research shows that your brain needs time to rest and relax in order to recover. I think sometimes I don't do that. Lydia would go, yes, kudos to that, because even in my rest time, she says, I pick up a crossword puzzle or a Sudoku or something, because even when I'm resting, I want to work my brain. I don't know why. It's just one of those brains that wants to keep busy. But the important thing is to get yourself in a position where you take a vacation every 3 to 4 months. How many of you can do that, go to Tahiti for 2 weeks every 3 to 4 months? We're not in a position to do that. So she calls them virtual vacations, and she gave three great ideas on how to do that in your life. Just one of them is close your eyes, breathe deeply, and release all thoughts. Just get the blank slate. Now, many of you are going to tell me, well, Mary Jo, I can't do that. And I say, well, you can't do it because you're already convinced yourself you can't do it. What you got to do is believe you can do it and start. You teach these tools to yourself. You don't. The first time you do it, maybe your brain doesn't go blank, but that's because it's the first attempt. You've got to train yourself to be able to do that. I can really release everything and let my brain go blank. And it's really something to do that. And you can get so much rest in a very short period of time by doing that. It's very restful. Fill your mind. And some people say, well, if I do this, Mary Jo, if I close my eyes and I breathe deeply and I blank my mind, I will be asleep within 5 minutes. And I go, yeah, that could happen. So maybe some of you don't want to do this for more than an hour. You might set an alarm clock when you start doing this. Or wait, let's say you do this for 15 minutes. 15 minutes of this kind of virtual vacation can make a whole bit of difference in your energy level and your mental aptitude and your alertness for a whole day. So it's not a bad idea to take that and run with that one. It's an easy concept. Clemmer even had something like that in his personal mastery. Combine imagery with exercise to come away revived and restored. So big areas that she talks about is yoga, walking, running, biking, swimming. I like this as a virtual vacation. Some of you would look at me and say, Mary Jo, there's nothing in the word exercise that would ever reflect vacation for me. I go, well, maybe that's why you're failing on a weight loss program, because you're not falling in love with exercise. You treat it like the devil. And exercise is not the devil. Exercise is something wonderful. In fact, I think I've told you guys that Lydia and I have been working out every morning at 6 now. And she said to me the other day, she says, I can't imagine this not being a part of my daily routine today. She loves it. She thrives on it. Was that true 2 weeks into it, 4 weeks into it? No. It was a grind. But today, it's just part of behavior. It's like getting up in the morning. It's like I wake up in the morning. Well, I wake up and I work out in the morning. It's like automatic. And it's so self-honoring. Exercise is so self-honoring. But you've got to change your thought process around it. When I work with people around diets and workout plans and becoming healthy, you know, when they look at me and they say, oh, I'm just never going to exercise, I go, well, then you're never going to be healthy. I said, you've already chosen. Why are you choosing to have poor health? Why are you making that decision? So choose differently. Yeah, it's incredible. And I'm seeing some incredible things happening at our church, too, people. It's fun because I helped my pastor's wife buy a Curves back, I don't know, it was about 6 months ago or so, and a lot of the members of the church joined. You cannot believe it. These people are so dynamite. I reward them every day. Every Sunday when I see them, I hug on them, I love on them. I say, see, this is what we talked about for years at all my health seminars I did at the church about the critical nature of exercise. And, you know, it's just wonderful. The joy in their hearts, their disposition overall changes dramatically. It is such a price we pay when we don't exercise, people. It is a huge price. So, and I know some of you are going, oh, it's a price that I pay when I exercise. Yeah, it is, because you're making it and you're doing it grudgingly instead of excited. And then the last one is a bath, a hot shower, quiet time on the couch can all bring the rest you need if you're able to mentally detach from pressure and stress. And that's just getting the discipline to be able to do that. And like I said, if you can't do it the first time, don't give up on it. Just keep working on it. Blanking that mind is important. And virtual vacations give your mind the space and rest it needs to function optimally. Whenever you choose, be sure it engages your mind either by escaping into a meditative state or getting you so involved in something that you escape work for a while. Right? And what happens to you is when you can escape work for a while, when you come back to the work, what happens is you become more creative, you get more ideas, you're more rambunctious, you're more excited about what you're doing. So hopefully that helps you guys. And I know this is not rocket science that we went over today, but what's intriguing to me is how we get off the path. We know these things. A lot of us have seen this before, probably 10, 20 times, but we fall off the path. And it was refreshing to read this article for me, because it was like, okay, Mary Jo, get back on the path. You're doing so many things right, but there's still areas that you need to what? Become more effective in. So all of us need to do that. I just hope it touched your life like it touched mine. We need to start getting productivity up, making those time rules, getting disciplined around exercise and patterns like that. And what we need to be able to get rid of stress out of our lives. We need to be able to get into a relaxation mode so that we can really escape from everything around us for a period of time so that we can come back with a fresh look and the new energy that we have. Okay, everybody, great. All right, how's that? Did I hit any home run balls with anyone this morning? Did we see that? Were we falling off track on our time management in our lives? Or are all you guys perfect time managers? All right, PTMers, that stands for perfect time managers.
Mary Jo, yeah. This is Rebecca. Yeah. I was just thinking this all day yesterday and this morning. It was just fit in perfectly with what I
really? Awesome. So you already were beating up on yourself going, oh my gosh, how do I get back this life in control? Because my life. Yeah, good.
Yeah, and I was already working on my plans and knew that I needed to know, and I took the rest, and so it just was confirmation to me. So thanks a lot. It was good.
Absolutely. You betcha, Rebecca. Great, 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 great. It'll make your day. It'll make your life. Yeah. So
yeah.
We do fall off track, don't we? Because it's not something really new. It's just like, oh my gosh, this is what's lacking in my life. And if we don't get told once in a while, then we just keep, falling off that track instead of being on track. And I want you guys to be the best you can be, because there's a lot out there. And you know what? If you aren't the best you can be, you're going to let me down, because I depend on you. And you could say, how is that true, Mary Jo? Because I know each and one of you can create greatness in your own community. And it doesn't have to look like what Mary Jo does or what Sam Castor does or what, you know, Mahatma Gandhi did or what, you know, Mother Teresa did. You are who you are. But you have a lot of greatness to share with people and create in your own community. And that is always going to benefit me. Always. Even if I never hear about it, but you know why? Because you're bringing joy into people's lives and you're creating a better America, a better world. Okay? Okay, people, anything else? Last minute?
Thank you very much, Mary Jo.
Absolutely. Thank you for being great listeners. You guys are terrific. Let's have a great week, okay? Make the best of it. Love you guys. Talk to you next Monday.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.